Welcome to the Mary Blake. Welcome to the Mary Blake Show. This is a show in which we have spiritual dialogues with transformational leaders, healers, spiritual entrepreneurs, intuitive counselors, psychics, and authors. We are looking into what motivates them, who inspired them to reach higher, how did they discover their calling, their truth, and the way they express their love and their power in the world. And today, we have a special guest, Ada Marie, the Golden Oracle. And Ada Marie is a seer, a lifelong seer, because she was born into a spiritual family, and she was taught by her grandmother. And let's see if we can get Ada Marie on the line right now. Hello, Ada Marie, are you there? Hello? We had a mix-up in the telephone call, it seems, the telephone number. She was given a number on a new show that I had opened up, and Blog Talk Radio is insisting on giving the old radio. Let's see if we can get her still. One second. Hello? Let's see. My dear. Sometimes technology is on your side and sometimes it is not. One second here. If we can do once again. Hello? Hello? Do I have Ada Marie on the line yet? Hello? Hello? One second. Hello? Here we are. One moment, she'll be right with us. In the meantime, this is a time in life when, in our world, when things are sort of unsettled and a lot of things seem to be going on. And hopefully, the spiritual way will be a guidepost and a way for other people to see where we're going. Hello? Ada Marie, are you there? Hello?
Goodness.
Hello? Hello? Are you there, Ada Marie?
Mary? Hello? Oh. How am I going to do this?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
You hear me?
Do we have Ada Marie here? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me, Mary?
Yes, I can. My goodness. Thank heavens. Oh,
it doesn't take long enough.
Blog Talk Radio seems to have confused two separate shows that I have. So, that's right. But anyway, we have a little time left here. And what I would like to do is to talk about what it's like to be born into a family of seers.
Well, it's quite different than anything I've experienced in my life since I've got out in the world and I found out that that wasn't a typical way to live. It's been a very, very interesting experience. It truly has. My great-grandmother was a seer for the Court of England, and she trained me and my cousin and I, rather better English, and I learned as I was a little girl many, many things that I took for granted, and always knew that when she said, someday you'll understand, that it was something that maybe I would grow into eventually. Well, here I am, some 80 years later, I'm still growing.
Well, I do hope so. I certainly hope you're still growing because life is changing, and the world is changing, and we need to adjust to it and keep what we have to offer more up to date so that we can reach the people who really need us.
Well, I think the important thing, Mary, is to know that it's a responsibility. It's not a gift. It's a responsibility to live the way that I have to live and to do the things that I need to do to be able to stay completely clear that my channel is correct, true and correct. And people who call me when I do not have an answer, I simply tell them, I do not have an answer. If the answer comes, I will call you back. And in most cases, the answer will pop out of my mouth before I can stop it, so I have to oftentimes say, do you really want this answer? Because sometimes it's not the answer they want. But I am very, very, very prone to saying, I do not have your answer. Consequently, Sylvia Brown went on television, and I did not, because I told him, I cannot give an answer if I do not receive it. And that responsibility for every single person who has sight, no matter whether they're a psychic, a mystic, or the responsibility of carrying the weight. And I am a seer. I've gone through the whole shebang of it. And and I can tell you that it's a big responsibility, and it's a big way. It's a very different way to live. I don't do a lot of things that other people can do and take for granted to do. I have to live according to the light that I'm in, that I can be at all times available to make a answer if I receive it. And I have to repeat it exactly like it comes. Like one boy called and I answered him and I answered him and he said, how do I know that I'm talking to my mother? And his mother said, don't forget to take your coat when you leave. And he was in total shock. She said, she always told me that. Don't forget to take your coat when you leave. And so, you know, there are many ways that you are tested to see if you are true and correct.
Honestly, yes. I know, remember when I was talking with Hans Holzer, and I touched a ring that he was wearing, and I said, that's an interesting ring, and he said, it was my mother's, and I said, she used to call you Hansi Hansela, and he almost fell off the couch, you know?
I bet he did, yeah.
And because I think that was the reason that I got into his book of the greatest psychics in America.
Right.
It was something that was so personal and so intimate. I mean, he must have been a very little girl, the little boy when she called him that. But
probably
this is what we live with, isn't it?
Right. It is what we live with. And you were telling me about something that you were doing, which I was very interested in, and it was about writing special treatments for people who were getting married. and instead of a regular speech, you interviewed them and then wrote something very special just for that service. And I'm telling you, that really was touching to my heart, because most of the time doesn't happen, Mary. And that really, that was wonderful to think that you did that for people. I was amazed that people can call you, you can interview them, and write something that's personal, that is not just a speech that we have. We have a ton of those things. But you write something very, very personal, and it really cements the marriage.
Well, you know, there are some amazing experiences that you can have by doing that. I mean, once I was being interviewed on television, and the host said to the audience, I met this woman at a wedding that she performed for friends of mine, and it started out to be a green card wedding, and they fell in love right in her living room in the middle of the prenuptial counseling. And I looked at her, I was in shock, you know, because I knew the person, and my first words out of my mouth when the young man came in, he was a young Japanese boy, and he was younger than the American girl that I was going to be marrying. I said, first thing I said, I want you to know I don't do green card weddings.
What does that mean?
And they said, well, green card weddings are when someone from a foreign country needs a green card so they can work in the United States, and they marry a U.S. citizen just in order to get a green card.
And then they become a citizen.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So anyway, they kind of looked at each other, and they sat about 2 feet apart. And as I was interviewing them, they kind of creeped a little closer together. And when I asked one question, he looked out and leaned over and took her hand. And she looked up at him. And I said, well, maybe this is, to myself, I'm saying, well, maybe this isn't a green card wedding after all. But it turned out that they convinced me that they were in love. And so I married them. You know, I performed the ceremony. And the host of the show said that she had just gone to see them, stopped by their apartment a week or so earlier, which was a few years after I married them. And she said they weren't home. And so she asked the elevator operator, she said, you know, the married couple on certain apartment, are they going to be home pretty soon? He said, are they married? He said, they're so crazy about each other, I thought they were just living together. So
how funny is that?
But that's New York for you. But that but it shows that amazing things can happen when you let spirit run things.
Right. That is true, and no matter how you cut it up, if it doesn't come from God, it doesn't come correct. So if you can't give an answer that comes automatically, you can't give an answer at all.
And, absolutely.
And I was, I had to turn down that television show because I cannot. I have to go, you know, I have to go back home, you know, someday. I have to get back over on the other side, which would be a wonderful thing. But I can't go there if I'm loaded with a pack of lies. So I had to say no, I can't do it.
But did they insist that no matter, if you don't have an answer, can you just come up with something to keep people happy?
That's what they said, and I said, no, I can't just come up with something.
Oh,
I cannot
my
do that.
Heavens. Ada Marie, in all of the years I've known you, you've never quite said it in that exact way. And it's amazing to think that this this kind of thing goes on. And we're talking about show business instead of spiritual business. Is that what you are actually saying to me now?
That's what I'm saying, because it doesn't, you know, they have to have something, I guess, that's mandatory, but you have to live with what you're responsible. You have to live with what you've given to somebody, and you have to live with that. And they took Sylvia Brown, and she became their person doing that, and she ended up with many lawsuits because many things she said were incorrect, because she didn't channel them. She just said. She's gone
she
now.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Well, she is dealing with what she did, and that's life. But, you know, maybe this time is the time when the world is ready for people who really, really go with truth and with spiritual reality, which is totally different from what you see and hear on television most of the time.
But, you know, I tell people, I say, I have their name and phone number because they called. I say, if I get an answer for you, I will call you and give you the answer. And one lady had called, and she was looking for a friend, a relationship she had, and they had suddenly been killed in a car accident. And she called me. She was very devastated and not in a good place, so she couldn't calm down very much, but I wasn't getting very much either because she couldn't calm down. So I told her, I said, why don't you just wait? Call me in a month, and when you feel a little stronger, and maybe I'll get an answer, but right now I don't have an answer for you. Well, about, I guess, 3 or 4 months later, this person came and said, called the girl, woman by name, and she had kind of a different name, and tell her that I loved her and I have left something for her, and this is where she can find it. So I called and left a message on her phone. This was the instructions that I'd been given by her friend, and she was to do this. And I didn't hear from her. I didn't hear from her for quite a while, and about 2 years later, she called me up and said, you know, I cannot believe that you were so accurate. You scared me to death. I did exactly what you told me to do, and I found what he wanted me to find. And she said, that just really frightened me that somebody could do that. She was frightened by it.
You know, that sounds...
Yeah.
Is that in the category of be careful what you ask for, you might get it?
Right. Sometimes I have to say to people, are you sure you want your answer? Are you sure you want to answer this question? Because I don't like to give out negative information. And I if I get something and I see it coming and I really hesitate, I ask them outright, do you really want this information?
It's so funny that it depends upon the readiness of the other person. And I think that sometimes they are just not ready to hear what Spirit is willing to give. You know, now, for example, I had this lovely Russian man who came over to my home, and I had done some healing for his wife, and he wanted to pay me back. They didn't have money to pay, so he offered to he spoke to people on the other side, so he offered to do that for me. So I said, fine. He said, who would you like to talk to? And I said, I just love to talk with my father. So he said, I have this blonde man he's kind of tall and he has wearing glasses. I said, that's not my father. He said, no, I know it isn't. He said, he came here, he's delivering a message. He said, your father said he's busy right now, he's studying, and he can't talk, he can't come and talk to you. And I started laughing. I said, that's my father.
Yeah, because that's what he would say.
It's exactly my father. No question about it. And you know, some other person might not be ready to hear the truth, you know.
Yeah, correct.
But there's so many ways
that it comes, and I rarely ever give out negative information. I give the truth, and I'll ask whoever's over there. I say, now, if this isn't going to be a positive experience all the way around, then let's not go there.
Uh-huh.
And then I just let them go. I release them. So.
Uh-huh. Yes, I hear you.
It's very interesting.
So I wonder sometimes if the person, though you wouldn't want to do it on the air, but sometimes it's exactly what the person needs.
I'll say to them, if you will call me, I will be glad to answer your question. But it isn't something that, you're right, a lot of times the answers that come are not for public, they're not for public
consumption.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so when we talk with spirit, sometimes spirit is not interested in talking with us.
I know that. They'll let you sit there until you finally get wise enough to say, "Okay, I'm not getting anybody. We'll have to try another time." But once in a while, a person will come and say, "I'm very, very busy," and leave. And then I say, well, I can't speak with them. They're very busy. I don't think people on the earth realize that there's a whole world. You really never die. There's a whole world out there of things that you can do. It's not even close to the earth plane and the nonsense we go through down here. That there's a whole wonderful, wonderful space and wonderful. I mean, I can only tell you, I was only there for 7 days, but I will tell you that it is so wonderful that you don't even want to leave. And I know lots of people who have gone through that experience and said, why did I have to come back? Because it's so
wonderful.
It was
my feeling exactly. I really did not want to come back.
Right.
You know, there you go. And
you have a job to do
and you do it, you know.
Well, what they tell you. They told me, you will teach the teachers of tomorrow. You must return. Bingo. All of a sudden, I guess my eyes opened.
Exactly. Well, we're going to have to continue this another time because of the mix-up at the beginning, our time has run out. So we are going
Thank you, Mary, for sharing with me, and thank you for allowing me to share with you. It's been a wonderful experience, and I thank everybody who has listened, that it has been helpful to them. And if you would like to call for a counseling for yourself, you can go to the Internet and go to The Golden Oracle, or Ada Marie at the Golden Oracle, and send an email, and we can set up a time to talk. How's that, Mary?
That sounds wonderful. And you have exactly 1 minute to say to them whatever comes from your heart and through spirit to the audience right now.
And I will tell you that if you listen to the little voice inside, when you have asked a question, when you have asked God or one of the angels a question, be silent. Be silent. Be silent and wait with patience for your answer. It will come. That you can be sure of. It will come and you will receive. And I want you to have a wonderful, wonderful day and week and on through the year. I want you all to have love and light everywhere. And I thank you for inviting me, Mary.
Is there a telephone number that people may reach you?
Yes. Let's see, 520-896-9510.
Thank you so much. We are now off the air.
Okay.
And we just got that phone number in. Thank you, Ada Marie. I want to call and talk with you a little bit. So
okay, I'm going to hang up right now.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye.